and radio heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. As I mentioned a moment ago, Building the Bakken is part of the Crude Life Media Network, and we're not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about facts of the energy industry. Here at the Crude Life Media Network, we generate positive energy. With programs like Building the Bakken, we are able to tell stories about the people, the communities, and the companies within the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil fields and the oil and gas industry. On today's episode, we talk with Edward Martinez with Zia Engineering about zero-emission technologies and how they're going to be integrated into the Davis Refinery, coming to Belfield, North Dakota, part of our weekly Davis Refinery update. A little closer look at the zero emission technology that's going to be incorporated into that Davis refinery. Then we go to Dickinson, North Dakota for the Bakken Barbecue, the 6th annual Bakken Barbecue. A little behind the scenes activity. June 15th is right around the corner. We have the co-founder, Tiffany Steiner, on with us talking about the details, cooking, bravado, barbecue bravado. Don't you just love it? That season, I can smell it now. The season is approaching very quickly. Tiffany Steiner, a little bit later on in the program. Kevin Connors, he's with the Oil and Gas Division of North Dakota Industrial Commission. This week, the EPA gave North Dakota the nod to become the first state to receive final approval to become a geological storage for carbon dioxide. That's right. North Dakota is in the carbon storage business. Kevin Connors gives us an overview how that happened. He's been working on it for quite a while. So great informational interview a little bit later on in the program. And then U.S. Congressman Kevin Cramer, Secretary of Energy Rick Perry, go back and forth a little bit about the fossil energy research program that ties us back to North Dakota becoming the first state. A little thematic there. Normally we don't get into politics, that's true, but this is policy now. It's a done deal. So we got to relay the information, what they decided, what the regulations are, and who to contact. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Today's music singer spotlight, you're hearing music from the Moody River Band. They have a downloadable album available now. As of April 1st, it was available, so check it out. They're a great street fair, bigger than arena, kind of a life party band with horns and saxophones and guitars and all kinds of stuff. It gets you up and dance type of a band. Okay, once again, this is Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and we're part of the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
When you get to know Eric, and he is so willing to share with you how growing up, you know, his life was impacted by an outstanding mom and the challenges that he may be faced, when he's willing to open up and talk about those things, you're immediately drawn in. And that's that vulnerability that I think that he has publicly said, it's okay to be yourself. And it's okay for you to make mistakes along the way.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we have our weekly Davis Refinery update. This week, Edward Martinez, the CEO of Zia Engineering, talking about some zero-emission technology being integrated into the Davis Refinery.
Out of kind of all these new technologies and the zero-emission technologies that are going into the Davis Refinery, what's the most cutting edge or what stands out to you the most in terms of technology that is environmentally sound?
Well, in many instances, oftentimes the level of fugitive emissions from just all the various piping and plumbing throughout the plant is usually one of the greatest sources of emissions from the facility. That's, you know, the fugitive emissions coming from gaskets and elbows, et cetera, et cetera. And at a typical refinery, older refinery, those emissions can literally add up to hundreds and hundreds of tons per year of specifically volatile organic contaminants, VOC emissions from the facility. We're looking at implementing a very aggressive leak detection control program, and we're building in the controls in the design and construction of the facility, so we're not trying to retrofit things in after the fact. And so both from the standpoint of the initial design as well as the implementation of this very aggressive program that'll use optical technology, automated leak detection systems, etc., we are estimating emissions that will be, in the tens of tons as opposed to the hundreds of tons for that portion of the overall facility emissions. And that's not just on the plumbing and piping, that's also on the tank systems, will be negative pressure systems. A lot of the areas where you usually would typically anticipate emissions will have minimal to zero emissions. And so, therefore, the flaring systems that people are most familiar with from refinery projects, the flares on this project really will only be operating very, very minimally throughout the year. And when I say minimally, I mean we're talking, to the tune of maybe a couple of hundred hours per year, as opposed to oftentimes you see the older refineries, they're operating the flares almost 24 hours a day. And essentially, the flares will only operate when there is a true upset of the negative pressure systems.
So when I hear the word state-of-the-art, a lot of times I think of the latest technology combined with, say, quality materials, like somebody who would, say, use marble instead of, wood for floors, or somebody who would get 110% as opposed to 100%. It's not doing the minimum required. In my opinion, that's what state-of-the-art means. Is this refinery doing things along those lines? Like, it's first one in 25 years, so I imagine they probably would be going above and beyond in most of the different areas for this thing.
Very much so. I mean, this facility will be literally the most controlled facility with the lowest level of emissions for similar sized operations of any that have been permitted that I'm aware of in the U.S. And as a matter of fact, I've kidded with Meridian that, the majority of the industry is not necessarily going to be very happy with them establishing this precedent.
And that was Edward Martinez with Zia Engineering. To listen to the full-length interview or other Building the Bakken features or other weekly Davis Refinery updates, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those links can be found at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
Smoking, I'm joking with the people that I know. I'm thinking, I'm drinking, I'm spinning, I'm grinning. Oh, my car stops when I go.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking with the people that I know.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Mark your calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota.
Well, you're my pineapple, baby. Let me be your mango man. You're my pineapple, baby. Let me be your mango man.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Tiffany Steiner, co-founder of the Bakken Barbecue.
Hi, Tiffany Steiner, co-founder of the Bakken Barbecue.
The Bakken Barbecue is just right around the corner. I tell you, every time I look at the calendar, I think it's going to be June very quickly. It seems like we just had Christmas last week. What's going on with the Bakken Barbecue? I imagine you guys are getting down even to the home stretch as we're getting a few months away.
We are in the home stretch, and it's kind of exciting. I think it came out of nowhere. Like you said, we were just at Christmas, and now we're getting close to summer, even though the weather is not looking like it. But we're really excited this year. We have an amazing band that's playing, Sada. We have a ton of companies that are signing up to barbecue, a ton of sponsors, and we can't thank all of our sponsors enough, and we have a amazing raffle ticket going on with the grand prize of $5,000. So that's kind of exciting too.
Sixth annual Bakken Barbecue happening June 15th in Dickinson, North Dakota. The band Sawdust, where are they from? I'm not familiar with Sawdust.
Sawdust is actually a local company. We've heard them at the Brick House, and then API had them at their Christmas party this year. And they just draw people to the dance floor. I've never seen anything like it. They are a fun, lively band, and it's just fun to hang out and dance with them.
You know, I have seen them. I do remember them from the API Christmas party, now that you mention that. I didn't know that was their name, I guess. Everybody was dancing, though. They were having a good time.
Yeah, and it's amazing how many people they bring out on the dance floor.
Yeah, I like those bands that know how, you know, there's certain bands for different things, and there's some bands that just have a high energy feel to them and know how to do a street dance or, you know, an arena type style where it's just their sound is bigger than life, and so it's very captivating. So,
yes.
Cool. Well, I wanted to ask you about sponsors, cookers, that sort of thing. I know that obviously the people can donate at the event as well, but a big part of it is the preparation work and some of the sponsorship and the whole thing that goes into putting it on so that a good amount of money can be raised for Make-A-Wish. So talk to me, where are you guys at with the sponsors? Are you looking for some? What are the deadlines, et cetera?
We are always looking for sponsors for our events. We have until, I mean, you can sponsor up until the Bakken Barbecue to help our event out. But the end of May would be best just so you can get your company logo on all of our marketing materials at the event, the posters. You know, we also mention our sponsors on the radio ads and Facebook and all that stuff. We always want to make sure our sponsors are heard. And then we have right now, we have a handful of companies that have officially registered. That's pretty exciting. You know, we have Patterson Drilling, Martin Construction, Lean Drilling, Enable Midstream, Smithy's Hot Shots, Whiting, Wyman Casing always barbecues. So it's just going to be a fun year. I think a lot of the companies that barbecued last year will be back because they had a great time.
Tiffany Steiner with the Bakken Barbecue happening June 15, 2018, Dickinson, North Dakota. Competition, Barbecue Bravado. I know that you guys have trophies, that sort of thing. Are people coming back to defend the trophies? And talk to me about the competition that happens.
I think it's such an exciting competition between the companies. I know first place was Shawcor, and they're going to be back as well. But their winning recipe will be placed in that Watford City Dickinson magazine in June. So people will be able to see how they won the Bakken Barbecue.
Are you kidding me? What? No, hey, God, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but they're going to be, what, Watford City Magazine? I hear that's got international distribution. They make it all the way to Canada. So, wait, no, the Watford City who?
So, it's actually the Dickinson Magazine, Watford City Magazine.
Okay.
They're the Dakota Life Media. And they reached out and they were excited to be a part of the Bauckham Barbecue. So part of the June issue is they're going to feature the Bauckham Barbecue as well as a recipe from the winning company from last year.
Well, let me tell you, I've done a number of interviews in the past, but and you know this, Tiffany, interviewing the cookers and that sort of thing. They might tell you some very roundabout ways they do things. Good luck trying to get the recipes out of them. That's like fracking secrets. I mean,
you know, shock horror agreed to it. I couldn't believe it.
No, so, boy.
You know, sometimes it's not the recipe. It's how you cook it. So it'll be interesting to see people's reactions. But it's pretty neat they were willing to share that recipe with the world.
I don't know if I'd trust it. Boy, I tell you, he might be putting on a ruse there. No, I'm just kidding. You're right, though. So much of barbecue, though, is time and temperature.
Yes, yes, and what you do prior to cooking in. So I think this is just a small step in how they won.
So we'll transition to the barbecue next. I mean, for the people who are planning on attending on June 15th, am I to understand it's going to be a lot like the previous years where you're going to have your staples of your ribs and your chickens and your briskets? But in the past, we've seen everything from lobster tails to shrimp to, I think there was even crawdads one year.
Yeah, I mean, last year, I think we had two whole pigs being cooked at our event. I mean, it's just a neat thing to see what people bring out. We had 23 companies last year. I think we're going to surpass that this year. I mean, I was at an API meeting the other day, and two of the companies were talking about their recipe for this year, and they wouldn't even let me know. So that's how top secret their menus are for this year. They've been planning them since last June. It's pretty neat to see how excited they get for the Bauckham Barbecue and to be excited to come back and do the same thing year after year.
I'm looking at your poster for the Bauckham Barbecue, the 6th annual Bauckham Barbecue, and it says the Kitty Corner is going to be there again, and I think that's an important thing for people to know. This is a very, very family-friendly. When I say very, very, I mean in the past you've had everything from a kid's menu of just like hot dogs and kid-friendly food to face painting to the big giant 20, 30 foot tall inflatable slides. What's the Kitty Corner going to look like this year?
You know, it's going to look a lot like last year, but times 10. I think what people need to realize is we want kids to be at our event. This is a kids event. It's a Make-A-Wish event. This event, you know, helps kids in our local area. So yeah, we do everything from games to face paint, like you said. We have multiple jumping castles. I mean, you name it. You can have your kids go over to the area because it's supervised. So you can go eat while they go to the jumping castle and hang out and get a hot dog and chips if they don't want the ribs and the smoked lobster and all that kind of stuff. So we try to gear it towards kids so it can be a family-friendly event.
To listen to the full-length interview with Tiffany Steiner or to listen to other Building the Bauckham features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bauckham Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bauckham Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
Because I'm back to the way.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
All we need is four wheels, a full gas tank, and a few miles left. Where all the lonesome souls go. Who wrote their songs of living? And now it's our souls left. For the kids.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of our programs was where we asked Eric Hatch to come in and speak to this group, and it ended up being a group of about 90 emerging leaders, and talk to them about leadership lessons. And Eric just did a phenomenal job of reaching out and talking about leadership from a very personal perspective. He is one of our best leaders in the community, talking about being vulnerable and what that has meant to him in his leadership journey.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Mark your calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th. The Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Kevin Connors with the Oil and Gas Division of the North Dakota Industrial Commission.
My name is Kevin Connors. I'm with the North Dakota Industrial Commission's Oil and Gas Division.
Thanks for joining us today, and we're going to talk a little bit about some carbon capturing. Now, the first thing that came to my mind was coal, so I thought I'd give Mr. Connors a call here to find out exactly if it's coal, oil, gas, et cetera. I kind of skimmed the press release, I'll be honest with you. So maybe if we could just have a little bit of a set the table a little bit on what you've been working on and kind of the history behind where we got today. How's that sound for you?
Yeah, that sounds great. I appreciate the opportunity. You know, so what I've been working on is working with the federal Environmental Protection Agency to get North Dakota the regulatory authority to regulate carbon dioxide storage in the deep subsurface in the earth.
Explain that a little further. I mean, you're talking about storage down in the earth. I mean, I'm thinking of like aquifers, but, you know, carbon furs, if you will. How exactly are we storing that carbon down in the earth?
Yeah, so, you know, the program, the regulatory program that we've developed is premised on protecting our underground sources of drinking water. And so there's all sorts of safeguards in place to make sure that carbon dioxide is injected in a manner that does not contaminate any freshwater resources and actually protects them. And we're typically looking for an ideal sandstone formation with rock above and below that will confine the carbon dioxide that's injected into the sandstone for the long term and make sure that it stays down there safely stored.
Now, in the press release, I saw something called Class 6 Well Activities. Can you explain that a little bit further? What would be a Class 6 well activity for geological storage of carbon dioxide?
Yeah, so, you know, the Safe Drinking Water Act has a program called the Underground Injection Control Program, and that program consists of six well classes for the purposes of injecting different fluids into the earth in order to get rid of those fluids, or to, in some cases, to enhance oil recovery in oil and gas fields. And in this case, Class 6 is for the injection of carbon dioxide for the purposes of long-term storage.
So off the top of my head, you know, like I said, the first thing I thought of was coal right away. I know that you guys have been working, or the state has been working on ERC, especially coal technologies that involve carbon. Of course, oil and gas has as well. Is this basically creating a carbon market, a carbon industry, if you will, in the state of North Dakota? Talk to me a little bit about what this is going to ripple into.
You know, that's a good question. You know, what happened yesterday with Mr. Pruitt's signature really gave North Dakota a key piece to a bigger picture or a bigger puzzle. You know, now we have the regulatory authority. We give industry, the coal, the lignite coal industry, the oil and gas industry, and even the ethanol production industry, the regulatory certainty it needs to develop carbon capture and storage projects. And so really that's what we're looking at in terms of you know, North Dakota is really positioned to be a leader in carbon capture and storage, not just with the regulations that are in place, but also with you know, what we have in terms of our geology, our lignite coal supply, that proximity to oil and gas fields, and also our ethanol production, which, you know, in addition to coal, you know, the ethanol companies are also looking at carbon capture and storage as well.
Well, and that's where I was going with this is that, you know, in the oil and gas world, you go to a different shale play and you have to use different technology. And it's kind of like the same technology, but it's different, you know, and a lot like coal. There's a lot of baseline technology that's the same, but you start getting other regions, especially in North Dakota, it's a different, you know, end game. It's a different, you know, after you get past the 50, it's a whole different game. And is that what I'm kind of hearing here? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, carbon is carbon, but the way to get carbon from ethanol, I would imagine, would be different than the way you get carbon from, say, the oil and gas wells and, say, the carbon. So is there a universal technology that's going to fix this, or, I mean, that's going to use this? Or does each industry going to kind of represent its own little tweaking of technology and its own little chemistry set? I'm not sure if I made any sense with that question, but are you following me at all with that?
Yeah, you know, I'm not an expert on the capture side of things. I'm more fall under where we're gonna put that carbon dioxide in terms of underground injection. But certainly, I know, you know, the ethanol production, you know, there's a pure stream of CO2 that comes off of that, and it's fairly it's less complex, I believe, to capture that CO2 than it would be for more like a coal-fired facility to capture that CO2. And there's a little more complexity there that comes along with that. But, you know, with this regulatory program in place, the reason I keep bringing up regulatory certainty is you know, that's a key component to continuing to develop and advance these new technologies to hopefully get to a point where we're looking at commercial scale, large scale projects.
Yeah, and I might be getting ahead of myself a little bit here, because that was one of the big issues, as you know, for a long time, was that certainty that, let's be honest, there was a lot of science projects happening in North Dakota, and they were funded without certainty. Now, they were funded with uncertainty, so now with a level of certainty, you know, common sense would say that there's going to probably be more science projects or more definitive science that's going to kind of come out of the next, say, 5 years. Does that, I mean, that's kind of what I'm picturing in my head anyway.
Well, you know, the timing's great. And although we waited, you know, almost 5 years to receive this approval from the EPA, the timing couldn't be much better in terms of where the carbon capture and storage projects and industry are moving towards is really going from that demonstration type projects and more looking at really developing commercial size, large scale injection and storage projects. And so, you know, we really are positioned and, you know, the regulatory program that we have developed in conjunction with meeting the EPA requirements is the first in the nation, the first of its kind. And it's really exciting for all North Dakota, really, to put us in a position to be a leader in this type of industry.
So what put us over the top? You know, as you got in the final stages, you know, was there any certain regulatory paragraph that put us over the top or any sort of company that stepped up and said, we're going to invest to the technology? Anything at all that they mentioned that we really or that North Dakota really made sure their I's and T's were crossed?
You know, it was really our congressional delegation. So Senator Hovind and Senator Heitkamp and Congressman Kramer really worked hard from their end in Washington, D.C. to get this approval pushed forward. And that's ultimately what it came down to.
To listen to the full-length interview with Kevin Connors with the Oil and Gas Division of North Dakota Industrial Commission, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. So we can't survive. Now we'll see you so when John Lennon died. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. Well, I was born under a harvest moon. That wasn't too late and I wasn't too soon. Yes, I was born on the first day of my life. Now I was 2 years old when John. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of our programs was where we asked Eric Hatch to come in and speak to this group, and it ended up being a group of about 90 emerging leaders, and talk to them about leadership lessons. And Eric just did a phenomenal job of reaching out and talking about leadership from a very personal perspective. He is one of our best leaders in the community talking about being vulnerable and what that has meant to him in his leadership journey.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we have U.S. Congressman Kevin Kramer and Secretary of Energy Rick Perry as they go back and forth a little bit about North Dakota becoming a carbon storage state and other innovation fossil energy research programs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Secretary, for being with us again. Thank you for your excellent leadership at the very important agency. Before I drill down into what's most important to me today, specifically the fossil energy research and development budget, I want to associate myself with Mr. Peter's comments about EDER. Even though San Diego is a long ways from North Dakota, his point about leveraging that resource, I think, was made well. And I'd also want to associate myself with the fact that I do feel like there's greater confidence given recent changes in leadership, and,
yes, sir,
and appreciate your attention to that and your vast knowledge of it. So thank you for that. And with that, I do want to get to the more concerning topic for me, and that is the administration seems to be sort of sliding away from a commitment to at least, if not pilot scale, commercialization gap with demonstration projects in the fossil energy R&D, particularly as it relates to where I think the focus ought to be, and that is carbon capture and utilization and storage of CO2 from coal-fired power plants. Now, we know and we appreciate in North Dakota your role, your agency's role in partnering with the Energy and Environmental Research Center at the University of North Dakota and some of our utilities, particularly Minn Kota Power, in looking for some opportunity, testing some opportunity for an alum cycle or some of these new technologies that will bridge coal, coal's past and coal's future as a clean resource. But without the gap being filled, or at least supplemented by the taxpayers, I don't know that we can get there, quite honestly, and yet we need it so badly. Specifically, the administration's fiscal year 19 budget proposal moves away from the research and development of carbon capture in reducing its R&D roughly 75%. Relative to fiscal year 18, and of course, both in 17 and 18, the Congress itself has had to sort of step it up. So given the fossil energy R&D request as a whole was increased relative to the President's request in fiscal year 18, can you explain why the Department shifted so dramatically from carbon capture R&D?
Yes, sir. Here's my observation is that the FY19 budget will not impact the current activities that the department has funded up in your part of the world. Plain CO2 reduction, regional carbon sequestration partnership, that's going to continue on. Feasibility study on the Tundra project, that one is in that funding stream for FY19. The carbon safe, SAFE activities, those are funded as well. Additionally, on the carbon capture issue, last year in about May, I was in China for the Clean Energy Ministerial, and we were able to get CCUS mm-hmm. placed into that. Now, obviously, these are not dollars that are going to be spent in North Dakota, and I understand that, but I think from the standpoint of the commitment of the agency to the carbon capture, utilization, sequestration. And actually yesterday, Chairman Alexander in the Senate was talking about being able to find, obviously using our national labs, using our universities that we have relationships with, a use for carbon dioxide. Is that, you know, and again, there's no eureka moment here, but you know, those are the exciting
yes.
technologies and opportunities that we think are out there in the future that we're going to be looking at funding. And you know, I hope you know that our commitment is very strong to that. Senator Hovind, my former governor colleague, he and I talked at some length yesterday about the opportunities that we can work on together with North Dakota and DOE.
In my remaining seconds, let me first of all strongly encourage you and invite you to North Dakota as it now warms up and thaws out to come and see the work at the University of North Dakota. Secondly, I want to ask for your assistance in advocating with us for a 45Q, you know, the 45Q tax credit, which was slightly improved in the most recent bill, but not very useful until we reconcile IRS and EPA rules so that it's more useful for these types of projects. It's essential. And then there's another credit, the refined coal credit, that I think just has to be extended so we can build this bridge again between basic research and commercialization. We're at the cusp, and we run the risk of losing all those opportunities. As you said, innovation, not regulation, is our motto. I like it. Let's live with it. Thank you.
And that was U.S. Congressman Kevin Cramer and the Secretary of Energy, Rick Perry. To listen to that interview in its entirety or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. That concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week. To get your mind blown. Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through and having children, and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess, and how do you deal with that in life? And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.